In a way, we've been looking at minor league football. Lee, you can't lose 18 out of 24 games. What's going on around here? I mean, this is a disaster.
Holiday season's upon us, gentlemen. What does that mean? Get your butt down to Bill Curry Ford, Northdale Mabry, just a little north of the stadium. It's easy access, whether you're coming down from Carrollwood, if you come across the Courtney Campbell, it's right there when you get on the Tampa side, coming up from South Tampa. Tremendous showroom, great values, and one of the greatest Buck fans you're ever going to see in Sean Sullivan. Pay him a visit. He's going to take care of you. The time is now. You're not going to get a better deal. And next year, who knows what the prices are going to be. Right now, you got to take advantage. Get your butt down to Bill Curry Ford. Sean Sullivan will take care of you. Get your holiday deals done.
Sunday, Bucks at the Falcons, the Raheem Cutter, the reunion tour. And you'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings in St. Petersburg, Tyrone Boulevard location. Ira, what's it like to watch a game with you at Buffalo Wild Wings like so many fans do?
I always meet friendly faces. They invite me to sit at their table. I'm at the bar for a few minutes. Hey, Ira, sit with us. And, of course, the bonus is they're picking up the check over there, Isbits. I'm not reaching into my pocket. I'm drinking vodka cranberries all day long. I'm having a nice salad, maybe a little slider action. And then at the end of the night, we got you, Ira. We got you. No more beautiful words can be said to the sage. Plenty of screens. It's a great atmosphere. Good menu. Drinks are great. Wait staff's fantastic.
Chocolate cake?
Chocolate cake on occasion. On occasion. It's a great time. I invite all our listeners, all our readers, come down to Tyrone. You'll have a good time with me.
Buffalo Wild Wings host the Sage World Tour. All the dates for the rest of the season are at JoeBucksFan.com. You've heard us talk about pin chasers here on the Ira Kaufman podcast. Well, you know what? Now it's time to actually go to pinchasers.net and reserve a lane. How easy is that? Tuesday nights, any night, you pick the night. There is a great daily special at Pin Chasers. Tuesday is Pizza Bowl, starting at 9 p.m. Enjoy unlimited pizza and bowling for just $10.99. Shoes are always free. Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. to closing. All three Pin Chasers locations. Get to pinchasers.net, look at all the daily specials, reserve a lane, and of course, make Pin Chasers your home for your personal or company, small business, holiday party. It doesn't get any better than Pin Chasers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Go ahead, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I won't say it's a moribund edition, but it was a moribund locker room. We're recording this on podcast after yet another Bucks dumb loss, and one of the Bucks starters referred to it as dumb play, and to his credit, he made it and copped to it.
Well, let me straighten out Buck Nation right here, DeKemper. Don't blame the officials. I've heard it suggested, oh, the Bucks didn't get any calls, and the officials are all slanted towards the Saints. That's a lot of nonsense, and we'll talk about it more later. You know who you want to blame? You're going to blame the Atlanta Falcons, and I'll tell you why. They woke up the freaking Saints.
Yeah.
And the Saints came in, they're all pissed off. They don't want to lose two in a row. They're too good to lose two in a row. And every team, you know, drops the ball once or twice a season. We saw what Green Bay did against the Chargers. They didn't show up. Mm-hmm. Rodgers was terrible. I think they scored 11 points, and the Chargers aren't any good. They're 4-6. It happens. You take an opponent lightly. Mm-hmm. You're not on your game that day. And that's what happened to the Saints against Atlanta. You know, now Atlanta followed up nicely and kicked the hell out of the Panthers, too. So give the Falcons credit. And by the way, I'm going to say it right up front. I'm not even going to save it for the end. DeKemper, I'm glad you're sitting down. I can't believe I'm saying this. I just cannot believe in 2019 I'm saying this. If the Bucks roll into Mercedes-Benz and roll out with a setback, they will have undisputed possession of the NFC South basement again. We got 2-3-7 teams squaring off.
Now, Ira, we want people to remember that your internationally popular podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, and Bucks fans can shop the great Black Friday deals already going on at Bill Curry Ford right now. They're going on right now. You don't have to wait to get in fistfights with people the day after Thanksgiving. You could do it now at your leisure at BillCurryFord.com. But we come again from the Den of Depression, the aptly named Den of Depression, in Tampa Bay along Gale Mabry Highway. It was a chapter right out of the Bucks beating Bucks playbook. The Bucks went down 20-0 in the first half, and here we are. And Ira, it's a broken record. It's same old, same old. I don't know what is different about this game than dozens of others in the post-Chucky era, but I feel for Bucks fans. I really do. This, I don't know what to say, man.
Lee, I wrote it in my column. It's the first sentence in the damn column. You can't be surprised by what happened today.
No, you
don't expect 20-0 and to get blitzed from the start like that, where they had the ball 20 minutes and you had it four. At the time they went up 20-0, it was 195-11, the total yards at that point. This is in your home building when you're coming off a win. Of course, that's unacceptable, but what's the bottom line, Lee? The Saints are a lot better. They're a lot better team.
The Saints are a lot better, but the Bucks handed it to them on a silver platter.
Not the officials.
Well, I'm not blaming the officials, but, I mean, it's the same old thing. We've been talking about this for weeks now. I know it's a different regime. I know it's Bruce Arians. I know it's Byron Leftwich. I know it's Todd Bowles. But the pass rush isn't really that much better than what it was under Mark Duffner, believe it or not, or worse, under Mike Smith. Leftwich, there was a report out there, unattributed, I might add, that the Glazer family they had grave concerns that they were buying Bruce Arians and instead were getting Byron Leftwich.
You and I talked about that many times.
Yeah, I think those fears were warranted. We don't mean to be a broken record, but the Bucks make dumb plays week after week after week. Doesn't matter if it's Lovie Smith, doesn't matter if it's Dirk Cutter, doesn't matter if it's Bruce Arians. I have come to the conclusion that you can't fix stupid.
You're going to call it Buck luck?
Bucks beating Bucks. That's what I'm going to call it, which is what Arians calls it. Just repetitive. Even when the same guys do it, and I love this guy to death, DeMar Dotson, that his words, not mine, but his apropos, dumb penalty on 3rd-and-1 when the Bucks' first possession in the second half could have potentially brought it within 10 points with the touchdown. That was a critical, and what happens? False start. He's been doing that ever since he's been a starter.
And let me.
And then O.J. Howard. What was this Michael Jordan deal? This behind-the-back pass?
We're going to get to O.J. Howard in a second because I thought that was the biggest play of the game.
It was.
Lee, we can't stop right there. The bigger story to me is they were 3-6, now 3-7. This is the time of year, exactly the time of year, when you go into your depth chart and you pick out that 22-year-old fifth-round tackle that you think all he needs is experience, and you play the hell out of that guy, and guess what? They don't have that guy.
No, even Arians said it in training camp.
They don't have it.
No.
That is disgraceful. The Kemper, Dotson, you know, it's not like he got bad overnight. The guy's the longest tenured Buck. You knew he was on his last legs.
And Cam Jordan was just toying with him all day long.
Cam Jordan's a hell of a player. Yeah. He loves to torment the Bucks. He kills the Bucks, that guy.
For a period of that game, I'd say about 6 plays in a row, Bucks had no answer for the guy.
Absolutely no answer.
He tore up Dotson. Then he tore up Donovan Smith.
Yeah.
Then they tried to chip block him. Then they tried max protect. Nothing worked.
He had 4 hits besides a sack and a half.
Yeah.
Now, I want to get to your favorite guy, number 80. Yeah. And I've been holding back on this. Lee, there's no other way to say it. He's been terrible. He's had a terrible, and that's a strong word.
Mm-hmm.
He's been awful. He's been terrible. I never expected it. My guy Jimmy Giles, you know, who's in the Ring of Honor and was a heck of a player for the Bucks and played the same position. He tells me every time he looks at O.J. Howard's physique, he sees another Jimmy Giles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? O.J. Howard's name ain't going up in that freaking Ring of Honor. He's lucky if he's on this team next year if he keeps this up. Lee, he's had a terrible season.
I want you to repeat that because I want to make sure I heard it right.
Hey, he's lucky he's going to be on this team next year.
O.J. Howard is going to be lucky he's going to be on the team in 2020.
I think if a team makes an offseason offer for him, he's gone. If he finishes the season the way he's playing now, Buck fans are turning on him. They don't want any part of him. That guy needs to reach out to a Jimmy Johns, a real pro's pro.
He's reach out to somebody.
Reach out to somebody and find out what's going on. Lee, this isn't the first time he's had a bad game. He's doing this all season.
Bad game, yeah.
Balls off his fingers, interceptions.
But that stunt he pulled today, that's like, what are you doing?
He has not helped Winston one iota this season.
Last game he played pretty well.
But he's contributed to several interceptions. Several.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I know this will anger a lot of people listening to this podcast. You were there too. I think you were sitting right, or I was sitting right next to you, but we were in the front row. Bruce Arians was asked point blank about Jameis's picks. And Arians said 10 of them are on him.
He's got 18. Yeah,
I know there's a crowd out there that They only look at one stat and one stat only. They can't get past this one stat. And they freak, they're obsessed by this one stat. That one stat's interceptions. I'm not saying the interceptions are good. Clearly, he's going to shatter his personal worst. But here's just a food for thought. In 2016 was Jameis' worst year for interceptions. He had 18. What also happened that year? Bucks won 9 games and damn near got to the playoffs. Why?
It was Cutter's first season, right?
Cutter's first season. Defense.
During defense that 5-game well. Winning streak.
Yeah, defense played well. And Jameis played well in that 5-game winning streak. But Jameis' worst year up until now was one of only 2 winning seasons this franchise has had since Chucky left. And how sad is that? 12 years now.
He didn't help himself today, Winston. He's not the reason they lost, but he didn't help.
No. And this is one of those perfect games.
No Lattimore, you know.
Well, yeah, that's why, you know, you're trying to force the ball to Scotty Miller. If Lattimore's off the field, Godwin or Evans ought to be open, and you don't target them.
The Howard mishap, and I don't know, you know, how you're going to characterize, you got him being Michael Jordan behind the back. it was the biggest play in the game because
it was
only 6-0, and the defense that had been run over a little bit in those first 2 drives, they still held them in the red zone. So good for the defense. 6-0, you're in the game, and the snap after the turnover is a touchdown pass to Thomas. Now it's 13-0 on the last play of the first quarter. How deflating is that? And now your playbook's almost out the window.
And like I said earlier, this is a perfect game that I've been saying for the longest time. And I'll say this. People get mad when they say this. Poor Jameis. One reason why Jameis throws these picks, I'm convinced of it, he thinks, and Arians hasn't even talked about this, Jameis forces plays, and I think it's because he knows the defense is so terrible, he's got to hang 35 on the scoreboard or they have no prayer. And today was perfect example. And what happened? Jameis was throwing picks all over the place.
Kamara hurt them badly today, I thought.
What happened in the run defense?
And the run defense wasn't very good. You're right.
Elite in this.
Kamara gashed him a little bit. No, he's a heck of a player.
Oh, yes.
When he's healthy. And I noticed that, and we talked about this in after the draft. I said, well, one of the reasons, you know, when you were screaming about Devin White and you passed up Josh Allen, you know, Josh Allen's had a nice rookie season. 2 points. 1, White's coming on. White's coming on. He had 12
against the run
tackles.
He's not good against the pass.
But I did see him, and one of the things we said is, I think one of the reasons they got White is, you know, when they faced the McCaffreys and the Kamaras of the world, maybe he can help with these flare passes. Mm-hmm. Well, they had him on Kamara today. And he got fried. And he got fried. He's learning. He's a rookie.
Yeah, he's a rookie.
I'm not throwing the book out on Devin White by any means.
No.
He's getting healthier and healthier, and I think he's going to be a good player, Lee. And I think so do you. You think he's going to be a good player?
Yeah, he's coming around, but he needs some work on that pass defense. But my gosh, the run defense.
Breeze has that kind of balance. It's a killer day.
Yeah. What do you think about this? I don't know if I'm right or wrong. I'm just curious of what do you think of this. The first half, this team looked like it just woke up. Just got out of bed.
Flat as hell to start
I know.
The game. And the opening kickoff, correct me if I'm wrong, the guy fumbled the kickoff, and the Saints had the ball at the 13-yard line. I'm thinking, hey, maybe this isn't New Orleans' day over here.
2 plays later, they almost fumbled it away.
Yeah, that's right. And they end up driving and settling for the field. Hats off to your rookie kicker, Mr. DeKemper. A nice job on the 55-yarder.
Yeah.
He's doing a good job. They did not look ready to play. You're right.
They look like they just got out of bed. I've come to the conclusion that you can't fix stupid. They're going to have to blow up this roster. What we witnessed today, I just think that's going to continue and continue and continue and continue until they got the roster. These same mistakes are happening all the time. Doesn't matter who the coach is. It's the same dumb mistakes.
Do you give the Saints any credit, Lee?
Well, of course. But I mean, they're a good team. Don't get me wrong, but it's not the Saints when a guy gets a false start on a 3rd-and-1. That has done it time and time and time again for years. Not like DeMar Dotson, but he's always good for one dumb penalty a game.
It's not the Saints when a tight end has dropsies with the ball.
Well, not so much dropsies when he tries to do a behind-the-back pass. You know, that's got nothing to do with the Saints. This was going on with Lovie. This was going on with Cutter. And now we got a hard ass. Cutter was a player's coach, with the exception of Jameis. He was a player's coach. Now you got a hard-ass coach. Same old, same old.
Now, Lee, I'm going to throw some numbers out at you, and I'm going to break this down, and you're not going to like it, and you should not, as a Bucs supporter. And I can't believe I was writing this, you know. And I was pretty damn good in math, and I did the Regents and got the 98s and the 90s. And you don't...
You couldn't have been an accountant.
Lee, you don't have to be good at math for what I'm about to say.
Well, that includes me, then.
That includes you. Since the 2-0 start of last season under Ryan Fitzpatrick, they've won 6 out of 24 games.
Mm.
They're 6-18. What is that? That's a 250.
Winning percentage, really?
When you bat 250, you got a ticket to Omaha City. You're going back to the minors for the most part.
It used to be that way, not anymore. Yeah.
So, in a way, we've been looking at minor league football. Lee, you can't lose 18 out of 24 games. What's going on around here? I mean, this is a disaster.
That's a good old minor league football.
I just can't believe it. Now you could be in last place. And I said it last week, and you know, Izbitz bumped it up to the start of the podcast, and I'm glad he did, where I said, I got high expectations. This sucks. This is awful. It is, Lee. I mean, it's terrible football.
Yeah, you can't paint
this 3-7, there's no getting around it. 3-7's 3-7. Now, you're a Parcells man. Mm-hmm. They are what they are.
Yeah, I've just come to the conclusion that we cannot expect this team to play smarter with the same bunch of guys, with the same 53 guys. Every week it's either the same guy in addition to someone new. Someone new today was O.J. Howard. The same old guy was... I'm just not picking on DeMar, but there's like a handful of guys that every week, you know, one of these guys is going to do something stupid, if not all of them. And DeMar, as much as I like him, you can bank on it. Every week, he's going to get a penalty.
Who are you going to put in the camp?
Well, this season's lost, but you got all off season to remake this roster.
And by the way, who torched the Bucks again? And you're tired of saying it. Michael Thomas.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go again. What's they doubled them all freaking game. By the way, they lost them on the touchdown. How do you lose them? There was nobody near them. Oh, my goodness.
What do you think of this? Todd Bowles is on schedule for less sacks this year than Mark Duffer last year.
And Mark Duffer got a copy of the home game. And
by the way, the Bucks. I haven't checked the stats after today's game, but, you know, going into today's game, the Bucks had the sack leader in the NFL, and still they have less sacks. Still.
Play quickly. I'm going to go through some numbers of the last 8 games. You ready?
Here, last 8, okay.
Last 8, here we go. 32, 40, 31, 37, 27, 40, 27, 34. Now, that is not the measurements of that girl
Rachel
you went
Watson
out with last week. That is the points scored by Buck opponents in each of the last.
Oh, I thought you were going to say rushing total for Peyton Barber.
So, this defense isn't getting any better, Lee. It's not getting any better. And today, as you pointed out astutely, the rush defense wasn't even that good.
Didn't show up.
You know, where's Jamel Dean? He didn't play that many snaps.
You know, that's a great question. I had some people asking, where's Jamel Dean? He's coming off his best game, but best game for a Bucks cornerback in some time. Where was he? He got benched for Carlton Davis, really?
And Bunting. And
yeah.
Bunting.
Well, here's, by the way, while I'm thinking of it, Steve found it first, and I also found it. Steve wrote a story about it that I was going to. What have you been harping on for 2 years, maybe, about Mike Evans and flags? What have you been harping on?
Throw 5 long balls a game, you're going to get 2 flags.
Warren Sharp, you know who Warren Sharp is. He's a well-known gambler and a numbers guy.
Is he like that magazine that you scarf up every summer? Is that
yes,
the guy?
Yes, he's one of them, yeah. He's got a website called Sharp Football, and he did some research on this year on penalty flags, how the change in the pass interference calls have affected teams and players specifically. No player has benefited from these new interference calls than Mike Evans. None.
Wow.
He's drawn 6 defensive pass interferences, more than any.
That's outstanding.
And his yards, total yards from all those 6 penalties, 111 yards.
And that doesn't even go to his personal statistics. Doesn't even enter into it.
That's just the pass interference calls. So what you've been harping on is happening this year. There's a flip side to that. Take a guess of who the cornerback is that's been burned more often than not by these pass interference calls, these tight calls. You know, the refs are tighter than a drum, these guys call it. What cornerback has been burned worse because of these pass interference calls? Carlton Davis.
Number 1 in the league?
Number 1 in the league.
Number 1 in the league.
So the Bucks are benefiting offensively and they're getting dinged defensively.
Now, what about this? What about this call on Evans that caused the furor in the post game? And Arians wants no part of it
because he's fine. He knows better.
He's tired. He's tired of talking.
Well, didn't
about
he say
it.
He got a letter from the NFL telling him to shut up?
Evans says you got 1 yard that you can sort of beat up on the defensive back, and he thought he did it within the 1 yard radius. And the next thing you know, there's a flag down on.
Well, it looks like they were just hand checking each other.
You got to let that stuff go.
When has that been a flag?
You got to let that stuff go. You know. Lee, the Saints are a better team. Let's not beat ourselves over the head.
No, but
you just don't like the way the Bucs presented themselves.
Oh, it was terrible. And you're right. It was terrible. I didn't think the Saints were going to lose to the Bucs. No way.
We both picked the Saints to win, right?
But it's just the Bucs came out. Like I said, it looked like they just rolled out of bed. Lethargic, listless, lifeless.
Does it matter? Does it matter to you right now whether they finish 6-10 or 4-12?
I hope they finish 3-13. I really do. Because I'm of the opinion.
Now, Buck fans are listening to this.
I know Buck fans are listening, and they should know, they probably already know that I've said this time and again.
And more than a few would agree with you.
I'm sure there are some. I've always been of the opinion you either play for the playoffs or you play for the draft. Bucks are out of the playoff. You should be playing for the draft. You should be trying to get a decent position for that draft if, and I don't want people to start running off the road or anything. If the Bucks believe Jameis is their guy, well, then you can use that draft pick either to draft someone or trade for a guy that's already established. And the higher they draft, the better that is. It's just common sense to me.
You know, all of a sudden, this quarterback-rich draft, it doesn't look
that's
that
a rich. Yeah, Tua is a big unknown now. And he was kind of an unknown a couple weeks ago.
The Oregon kid's not burning it up.
He's okay.
I mean, the LSU kid's going number one. Yeah. I don't think there's any. The Bucs are not going to get a shot at him because the Bengals want him. They're not going to trade that
Do they?
Pick.
Do they?
Wouldn't you?
Well, there's Chase Young right up the road from Cincinnati at Ohio State.
They need a quarterback, Lee.
Yeah, on face value, I would say yes, but they drafted I can't think of his name. Riley, is it? Guy from North Carolina State. They drafted. He's a rookie. And they still have Andy Dalton. I don't know. I'm not a big Andy. People who regularly read Joe Bucks fan know how divisive I am when Jason Lock and Forrest said the Bucks are getting rid of Winston because they can get Andy Dalton.
I think that's a silly argument. I think Winston's better than Dalton.
Hell yeah, he is.
Yeah, I think
But I've been derisively like, yeah, let's get rid of Winston because of Andy Dalton. I write that once every 3 days.
Now, I want to direct this at Winston's supporters. They're very vocal. They're very passionate. I don't have a problem with that. But they kind of think that guys like you and me and others in the media, we can't wait to drive Winston out of town.
No.
That's not true.
No,
that's
not
true. I just have this sense that after 5 seasons, it's like it's time to
move on. You want to see more.
And you don't necessarily feel that way, but I just think, you know, he hasn't shown that much improvement under Arians. I'm not sure how Arians feels about him at this point.
We don't really know.
We don't really know. And I'm starting to come around to your thing now. You're the first one to say it. You're not sure Arians is coming back. I'm not sure he wants to go through this again. You go 4-12, that's going to eat at him.
Yeah. Just so people know, I'm not predicting Arians is not coming back. I'm not expecting him not to come back. I'm just not ruling it out. I'm not convinced he is coming back. That's a big difference from predicting it. It's a big difference from expecting it. If I had to put money down, I'd expect him to come back.
And you're not saying the Glazers are going to put their foot down and then jettison Arians. You're not saying
No, I wouldn't think so unless they... You know, they know more than we do, and they'll never let on what they know. I get that. I understand that. You know, unless they found something really, here's a word you would like, and you've used this word before, nefarious?
Nefarious. They didn't play a good game today, Lee, but I think they would have had to play a hell of a game. They didn't play a good game.
I'm a fan too, okay? Name besides Joe Bucks fan. This is one reason why I can't stand when people say, oh, so-and-so worked hard. This is a perfect example of why to me, that's empty talk. You might as well not talk at all if you're going to say that. And there's a perfect example. Arians and players in the locker room I talked to after the game today, without fail, all of them said, this is one of the best week of practices they've ever had.
And I don't want to hear about practice anymore.
And they came out and looked like this. So, just word of the wise, people. Working hard and playing good are two different animals.
By the way, you used the word funereal or something like that.
Funereal, is it?
Yeah, something like that to describe the locker room.
The locker room, it was dead.
Guys got out of there quick.
Not only got there quick, you could have a pin drop. It was that quiet. I mean, we, the media, made more noise than they did. It was, you know, I told you how it was lifeless. They played lifeless in the first half.
What if some people in Buck Nation say, I wish you go in there and see some guys starting to throw things around and getting in guys' faces?
They did that already. And we saw how that worked. It worked so well. They played okay for a couple weeks.
Did they play any better today without Vernon Hargreaves, Mr. DeKemper?
Heck no, but it's pretty clear he wasn't the only culprit. He wasn't the only culprit.
And is the secondary fixed, Mr. DeKemper?
Absolutely not.
You know, Arrogant should have never said that. That makes him look...
That made him look terrible when he said that back in the summary. And he said it with pride. Oh, yeah, totally fixed. Oops.
Who are your base guys, Lee? You know...
Levante. But he's getting up there in years.
But for the team, you know, you would say Evans and Godwin.
Clearly.
I can't put Ronald Jones necessarily in that bucket.
Nor Peyton Barber, nor Dari.
And I don't even know about Donovan Smith and Marpet and Jensen. I mean, you know,
Marpet
they're playing
and Jensen,
okay. They're playing okay.
I would take Marpet and Jensen. Donovan Smith, he's too expensive. I don't know his contract details off the top of my head, but I think they're locked into him.
Veya's
a keeper.
Yeah, Veya's a keeper.
He didn't get a whole lot of snaps in the second half. And he wasn't, he's never going to say anything. By the way, our listeners, they want to know why there's very few stories about Veya. First off, he's the nicest guy in the world. Second off, he's a mute. You can't get anything on him. You ask him the most innocent question, and he's like tenses up. He starts looking around like someone's going to steal his wallet.
Like Alex Kappa a little bit, too. You know,
talk, though. I talked to him after the game. He'll talk, but he's a little bit nervous. But Veya is petrified of talking to us. Like he's going to get... And I know these guys, if they say the wrong thing, for example, injuries, they get fined. I get that. But he is absolutely petrified of us. He's the nicest guy in the world. He's a teddy bear.
Well, you're a scary guy, DeKemper. I have my guard up if I see you approaching.
He is a teddy bear, and he'll say hi to you. He'll talk to you nice guy. But you try to get him to say anything on the record, even though it's rosy and you know, rainbows and clouds, he won't say anything. It's like he's paranoid about something.
So, Lee... You don't even hesitate.
By the way, I didn't ask him why he didn't get so many snaps. There was once, I've never seen it before. Once, it was early in the second half, I believe, he got blown off the ball. I mean, exploded off the ball. Usually he's the one doing that. I've never seen that before. And after that play, he didn't play a lot of snaps. I'm wondering if he got jacked up. I don't know. I heard no announcements about Veya. So I don't know if he got his bell rung or something. But after that, when I say that play, he got lit up on. He didn't play a whole lot. And there were some times where they had third down and short, the Saints. Where's Veya? Well, he's on the bench. It was weird. And he's never going to – it would waste our time. Hey, Veya, how come you weren't in there? Well, you know I'm not allowed to just talk about that.
You know, now, Lee, I find this very interesting. You have no problem and no hesitation saying that at this point you think the Bucs should finish the season on a 7-game losing streak. And finish 3-13. How do you think that's going over with some portions of Buck Nation? And what would it mean for Jameis Winston's future if they finish 3-13?
Well, that's a fair question about Jameis, unless both the Glazers and Arians already made up their mind. Either way, either they're going to bring him back or not. That's a big factor, but you're right. And I know there's a segment of Bucks fans that they want, if possible, the Bucks to win out. Which, if it's a feel-good thing, but it's logically, or it's illogical.
You don't want the 13th pick in the draft. You don't want it.
No. What's the point? I mean, that's one reason the Bucs are where they were. For longest time, they were like 6-10, and they'd have like the 13th pick or the 18th pick. And, you know, you're like the Buffalo Bills. You're just bad enough not to make the playoffs, but you're not bad enough to get good players. It's like a gerbil in a wheel going round and round, round and round. And that's the Buffalo Bills. But,
Well, we got to give some credit to the Saints.
Oh, I'm not discrediting the Saints.
That's a good football team, well coached.
Of course.
Sean Payton's one of the better coaches in the league. I know that when I go on with the Mad Dog, he loves to talk about how, other than Belichick, there's no Hall of Fame coaches out there. Maybe he's right.
Breeze is close, but he's...
Coaches.
Yeah. But Payton, you know, Sean Payton.
There's some good... Harbaugh's very good. Payton's very good.
Who would you take, Harbaugh or Sean Payton? Are those just two guys next level?
Harbaugh or Sean Payton?
Or from Belichick?
I think I might take Harbaugh. I think he's very good. And I don't think they have great talent other than Lamar Jackson's, he's a unique talent. There's no
question
about it.
Well, what I like about Harbaugh, there's a couple things.
I mean, they're in the hunt almost every season.
Yeah, he's adjustable. He's He's a flexible guy. He won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco, a drop-back quarterback.
And then he dumped him.
Then he dumped him, and then he completely changed the offense to a running quarterback offense, and they're winning. And you can
and they're playing great defense.
They're playing great defense. They always play tough defense. They always do.
Physical.
Yes, yes. And I would say, you may be right about Harbaugh. He may be better than Sean Payton. He wins with whatever talent he has. He molds teams.
You know, speaking of coaches, Lee, and I can't stop thinking about this. Arian's reputation is taking a hit. Because his last 2 years, he didn't have winning seasons in the desert. He was under 500 when you combine those final 2 years. He enjoyed some great early success. Got to the NFC Championship game, Lee, his third year in Arizona, 2015. It didn't end well in Arizona. And then he comes here and says it's an easier reclamation project. And he's already proven that he's going to lose more games than he did his first year in Arizona when he went 10-6. Lee, this is a two-time coach of the year who's taking a little bit of a shot here.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he thinks about that.
I think it's a factor whether he returns or not, if he thinks that he could turn this place around, because ultimately this is his last job.
And he certainly hasn't raised the profile of his coaching staff in the process, which is a big part of the reason he came here. Byron Leftwich is not going to get serious job interviews for a head coach.
No, but I think he raised the profile of McNair, the running backs coach, only because he saved Ronald Jones.
Not Bowles.
No, Bowles didn't do any bad. Well, Todd McNair has raised his profile because I believe he's improved Ronald Jones. I'm not saying Ronald Jones is Barry Sanders, but he's improved. And everybody was ready to start shoveling dirt in his face. So
maybe the receivers coach.
Yeah, receivers coach, and whose name I can't think of right now. Antoine Randall Ellis is an assistant receivers coach, so that helps him out. Casey Rogers, defensive line coach, he was always good. Everywhere he went, they always had a good defensive line. Now, you could argue where it's the sacks. Well, they
now, didn't now Lee, so. I'm going to keep my eye on the guy.
Linebackers coach, I think, is doing well.
Linebacker coach, Lee, and I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going to keep my eye on this guy for the final 6 weeks, and I want to see effort. And I'm talking about Big 93 and Ndamukong Suh. I'm a little concerned about his motivation down the stretch, although he wants another payday next year. Could be with another team. But you got to put something on tape to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're out of the playoffs, and you know, he's a veteran that's been to the playoffs, and I'm wondering if he's going to pack it in a little bit.
What about his stamina? You think it's catching up with him? I mean, he's an old guy. He's 34.
You know, look, he was an integral part of the league's stingiest run defense, and I'll give him credit for that. He was never going to be a 12-sack guy. But starting today, the run defense didn't look that good. They're going to Atlanta. It's not like Atlanta's got Ezekiel Elliott over there, so we'll see. Meanwhile, the Falcons have won two straight games and look good doing it. Might not be a great time to catch the Falcons, Lee.
No.
My bottom line, Saints are a lot better team than the Bucks. But I'm going to add this phrase. The Bucs needed to be at their best to compete with the Saints. They were far from their best. In fact, they're now trying to stay out of the division cellar. I can't believe I'm saying that, Lee, after how bad the Falcons have been all season.
Welcome to Tampa Bay. Buccaneers Cove, last place in the NFC South.
They take up residence in that basement.
They moor their boat there. We got to get this out of the way, Ira. We're going to help you out. You are a media mogul. You're on everything. So let's get this out of here. Where are you going to appear? You got this cable outfit you do stuff for. What's the name of it?
I believe it's Spectrum Sports with me and Roy Cummings.
And what time do they show you?
Monday night, 10:30. Bay News 9. Tuesday morning, I got the Derek Brooks Show. And that they show later in the week. We tape it. Two segments. One, we review the previous game. Then we do a look ahead. Brooks wears a tie every time the Bucks win.
So no tie Tuesday.
He might show up with a crew cut this week. And no tie.
What crew cut? He has no hair.
Then, Wednesday, I'm on the Mad Dog. Channel 82, Sirius XM. Mad Dog Russo.
Okay.
National show, coast to coast. I'm on for a full half an hour. We go at it. Now, this week, I'm...
And you can't be pushed around like you're Peter King.
Like I'm Peter King. And you love the... And they change the opening every week, and you love it. I'm back. Costanza's back, baby. And... Now, this week I might not be on Wednesday because I got that conference call that Russo calls that dumb conference call because I'm on the blue ribbon panel for the Hall of Fame.
With Belichick and John Madden.
With Belichick and all those guys. And they've been doing the conference call at 5 o'clock on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I can't blow off the Hall of Fame as much as respect as we got for the Mad Dog. The Hall of Fame is the Hall of Fame. So I might push me back to Thursday, or last week I bumped up to 4 o'clock on Wednesday. But I'll tweet it out to our listeners. And then we got the Tailgate Sunday, Fox 13, 10:30 in the morning every Sunday. We either tape it or we do it live.
Channel 13.
And next Sunday, I will be at Buffalo Wild Wings, Tyrone Square.
Oh, my old
stomping grounds. Come by and say hello. Buy me a drink. I love to sit with Buck fans, get their perspective on things, like to shake some hands. DeKemper, you've promised me you're going to come down and keep me company 1 week. We shall see.
I'll be in Atlanta.
That's right. You'll be in Atlanta. And I want to hear some stories when you get back. But we're coming back later in the week, and I believe we will be at One Buck Place on Wednesday, and we will do another podcast, my friend.
Well, what do you want to leave our fans with, Ira?
I want to leave our fans, keep giving me names, potential names for my doggy. We're getting a new Boston Terrier. It's not even born yet, and the check's already been cashed.
You bought a dog, and the dog...
It's not even born yet.
Has it been consummated?
Yeah. There's puppies to be pounced on. And I believe that'll happen next month. And then 2 months of puppy growing and shots. And then I think we're supposed to get the dog in February. Boston Terrier, Boston, baby. And I want names.
But you don't know what the temperament of the dog is doing.
I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. I don't know what's going on. I'm suggesting Ira, Sage, my wife's not going for it.
I'm going to guess this is your wife's deal because you would have been a little more.
This is absolutely my wife's deal. And I got a movie recommendation. See, I'm all over the map.
What's the movie?
We went to see Ford versus Ferrari last night. And that's a hell of a name for a movie. Matt Damon, Christian Bale, two very good actors. True story about how Ford wanted to take on Ferrari in terms of motor racing.
Oh, the birth of the Mustang.
Yeah. And they fought at Le Mans. We want to win Le Mans. And it's a true story. Very good movie, Lee. There's no pinup girls in it, so you ain't showing up. But it kept my interest. By the way, Cats the Movie is opening next month. I'm sure you're going to be close in line to try to get that. Remember Cats the Musical? Long-running musical on Broadway?
Yeah, Sylvester Cats. The Cat.
No, not Sylvester the Cat. It had that famous song, and don't ask me to sing, DeKemper. Wednesday, I'm going to sing it.
Have you seen Midway?
I have not seen Midway.
Will you be seeing Midway?
If you tell me it's good, I'll go see it.
I can't see it because I told you. I just can't get past the fact that a doofus bartender, Woody Harrelson, is playing Chester Nimbitz.
I know who you wanted, a guy like George C. Scott, tough guy like
no,
that.
No. Henry Fonda played Nimbitz once, and it was beautiful, but Henry Fonda was
So you're saying from Henry Fonda, it's a long journey to
Woody Harrelson. I could handle Spicoli, because Spicoli's a very good actor, and I've seen Spicoli in other movies where he was fantastic. I could see Spicoli playing Chester Nimbitz. I could see Alec Baldwin, of all people, playing Chester Nimbitz. Not Woody Harrelson. That, to me, that's a slap in the face.
Maybe even Tom Hanks. It's possible. But Woody Harrelson.
Believe it or not, and you may fall off your chair when I say this, I could actually see Andrew Dice Clay playing Chester Nimbitz over Woody Harrelson.
Who's next? Lamar Dotson. We're out of here.
For a new Ford, make it Bill Curry, Tampa Bay's first family of Ford for over 60 years. At Bill Curry, our prices are better than good. They're the best, and they're right up front with our $5,000 best price guarantee. That's right, Bill Curry will meet or beat any Ford dealer's best offer or give you $5,000 cash. Shop our huge selection of new Fords, then get the lowest price, the best price, or we'll give you $5,000 cash. Only at Bill Curry Ford, located on Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.